And good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, your host, and we come to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. And I welcome you this morning. We're going to be talking about a particular idea from a intellectual perspective, really a very learned perspective, in the words of our guest, and that is Bruce Lipton. Now, Bruce Lipton has created a program called The Biology of Belief, and we're going to hear some excerpts from his program on changing biology by changing perception, the three types of perception, and we're also going to hear a segment called Love and Fear. And this is all coming to you as one piece. We're going to share a little music with it, opening with Sinead O'Connor, In This Heart, and closing with Cat Stevens by Moonshadow. And for those of you who are not familiar with Bruce Lipton, he's a PhD, an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit. Stem cell biologist, best-selling author of The Biology of Belief, and recipient of the 2009 GOI Peace Award. He has been a guest speaker on hundreds of TV and radio shows, as well as keynote presenter for national and international conferences. Dr. Lipton began his scientific career as a cell biologist, and he received his PhD degree from the University of Virginia at Charlottesville before joining the Department of Anatomy at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine in 1973. Dr. Lipton's research on muscular dystrophy, studies employing cloned human stem cells, focused upon the molecular mechanisms controlling cell behavior. An experimental tissue transplantation technique developed by Dr. Lipton and colleague Dr. Ed Schultz and published in the journal Science was subsequently employed as a novel form of human genetic engineering. And Dr. Lipton has taken his award-winning medical school lectures to the public and is currently a sought-after keynote speaker and workshop presenter. And he lectures to conventional and complementary medical professionals and lay audience about the leading-edge science and how it dovetails with mind-body medicine and spiritual principles. He has been heartened by anecdotal reports from hundreds of former audience members who have improved their spiritual, physical, and mental well-being by applying the principles he discusses in his lectures. And he is regarded as one of the leading voices of the new biology. And you'll find his work summarized in the book, The Biology of Belief, by Hay House. And you can also go to Sounds True and find a recorded program on The Biology of Belief. I believe it's a 3-CD program that really lays out all of these issues for you. And his new book is called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here, also by Hay House. So we're going to hear a little bit of this foundational information presented by Bruce Lipton. And then I'll ask you to stay tuned because we're going to come back in our second segment. And I'm going to be talking about this process of releasing old energies and entering into deep relaxation in order to heal ourselves, our mind, body, and spirit. I will be including a meditation as well as part of this talk. And this is really very important. I certainly have found in my private practice and in the work that I do that this is the key. It's primary to allowing us to move forward in our lives. It's important to relax and breathe so that we can get into the cellular structure. Because when we relax and we breathe, we bring oxygen into our cells. The blood starts to move. The energy starts to move. And as we enter into that state of relaxation, we also begin to have a broader perception of the thoughts that are running through our mind. And we can begin to distinguish those thoughts and those belief systems that are causing us stress in our everyday life, but also the stress that gets embedded into our tissues and gets embedded into the cellular structure, which is the information that ultimately is feeding back into our physical system, back into our mental state of well-being, and is the actual way in which this mind-body process works to either bring stress, deliver stress into our bodies, and therefore bring about illness and dis-ease and depression, or we can use this same function, natural function of our bodies, to deliver the information and the state of relaxation to let go of all that old built-up material and begin to feed in new information that will allow our bodies to heal and to relax and to be able to function in the world in a way that is holistic, sustaining, supportive, nurturing, and nourishing. We have to take that personal responsibility to make this change. But at the root of making that change is having the information. So we're going to go now to our presentation, which is featuring the program by Dr. Bruce Lipton, and it's talking about this whole idea of biology and belief. Stay tuned, and I'll be back with you on the other side of this segment.
In this heart lies for you a lot.
I will have you. interest into this point. Most of us are even missing genes, and yet we don't even know that we're missing the gene. The reason? Is because via epigenetic mechanism and a process called genetic capacitation, other genes can be modified by epigenetic mechanisms to provide products that would have been derived from the missing gene. So you would never even know that you were missing gene. Epigenetics is this global mechanism that covers the readout of our biology. And the fundamental understanding behind epigenetics is controlled by environmental signals. Why is this important? Because in our history to dominate and control nature, we thought the genes controlled life. And if I want to change the character of life, I have to change the genes, genetic engineering. And what we're beginning to find out is now, my goodness, wrong emphasis, wrong genome. We should be looking at epigenetics because epigenetics can alter the readout of any particular gene. But you can change epigenetics not by changing the genes, but by changing the perception to the environment. But wait, how did perception get in there? And then go back and realize the environmental signal that controls epigenetics is mediated by the switches on the cell surface called perception. And all of a sudden we start to see, yes, how you perceive the world now not only controls just the biological proteins that make the functions of respiration, digestion, movement, but how you see the world, your perception of the world, selects which genes are going to be activated, and not only just selects the genes, but can modify the readout of the genes to make a protein that would best fit the environmental circumstances of the time. And then when you realize it, you say, oh my goodness, think how much easier it is to change our lives, not through genetic engineering, the old way of messing with the protein building genes, but by changing our perception, which then alters the readout of our genes. And in fact, when I talked about the influences that cause disease, and I mentioned trauma, toxins, and thought, thought becomes the big element in this regard. Since perception runs our genes, misperceptions could misrun our genes. And misperceptions are interpretations of the world that are inaccurate. And yet the reality of the biology, as I mentioned, is it responds to perceptions. So I could call this the biology of perception. And yet, why did I call it the biology of belief? And the answer is, because not all of our perceptions are true. Some of them are totally inaccurate. And yet, even if they're inaccurate, they still run our biology. And inaccurate perceptions will inaccurately run our biology, which would lead to dysfunctions and disease. And that is why thought becomes a prominent contributor to the state of health that we express. So then recognize the role that perception is the primary mechanism.
When we start to look at how
perceptions
biology.
Influence cells, I started to get some very fundamental nature of the degrees and types of perception by observing my cells. I found that I could actually subdivide perceptions into three categories based on the responses of the cells. That I would call things that I would put into the environment that the cells liked, that supported their growth, as positive growth-promoting perceptions. Meaning, if I put nutrients in a petri dish, the cells would read that perception of the presence of the nutrients, and the cells would move toward the perception. So I found that any perception that causes the cell to move toward it represents a perception associated with growth, because growth means to take in that thing, whatever it is, and assimilate it into your life. In contrast, if I put some things into the culture that actually threaten the life of the cells, such as toxins, they responded to the perception of the toxins with a completely different response. That when toxins were put in the petri dish, the cells didn't move to the toxins, they moved in the complete opposite direction. And then I started to realize very simply this. If things were in the environment that threatened the survival of the organism, in response to that perception, the organism moves away from the stimulus. So growth stimuli cause the organism to move to it, be open in the process, and take in those stimuli to incorporate them in the growth of the organism. And those stimuli that required protection cause the organism to move in the complete opposite direction, away from the stimuli, and in the process close themselves down to protect them from the noxious environment that they found themselves in. So I had two fundamental responses or perceptions, those that promote growth and those that lead to behaviors that we would classify as protection behaviors. There is indeed a third response to perception, which is actually no response at all, meaning that some things in the environment are totally innocuous. They don't promote growth, but they don't kill you either. I usually refer to these innocuous things as elevator music. You get into the elevator, you don't actually dance, but it doesn't kill you. It's just background. So now I say, organisms respond to their perceptions of the world, that the types of perceptions could be categorically divided into three different classifications. Those perceptions that provide growth, and these perceptions cause this organism to move toward the stimulus and take it in. Those perceptions that require protection responses, which cause the organism to move away from the stimulus and close themselves down. And then those perceptions which are just elevator music, background, innocuous, and
so it's interesting,
it says that there are basically two fundamental actions that can result from a perception: growth or protection. What I really observed that was very important in understanding the lessons the cells were trying to teach me was simply this: that cells could not be in growth and in protection at the same time. They were mutually exclusive behaviors in this regard. Growth, move to a stimulus, be open to assimilate it. Protection, completely opposite. Move away from a stimulus, close yourself down to protect yourself from the environment. What's interesting about it is the simple, obvious nature that a cell cannot move in both directions at the same time. Cells can be in growth, where they're actually responding to their environment and building themselves up, or cells can be closed to the environment in protection, walling themselves off, but you can't be open and closed at the same time. You can't move to a stimulus and away from a stimulus at the same time. So I started to recognize that living organisms were responding to the stimuli in regard to their behavior, and that could be described as either responding to it in growth or responding to it in protection. Well, it's interesting because when we bring this up to the level of human biology, here's an interesting fact: that growth and protection, the extremes of stimuli between growth and protection as perceived by the human, can be described as love and fear. Love is the ultimate growth response for a human. Once you experience love in your field, if you perceive love, you will move to that love no matter where it is and try to get it and assimilate it and take it in. If love's on the other side of the mountain, you will climb over that mountain to get to love and take it in. If the mountain is too high, you'll dig a tunnel through the mountain to get to love. It is the ultimate growth perception, love, for humans. In contrast, fear is the exact opposite. When you fear something, you try to get away from it. You try to close yourself off. You wall yourself off from fear. You get in a protection response. So that it's interesting. Well, yes, many things can be supporting our growth, our nutrition, the environment that we live in, the physical house, and all these other kinds of things. It turns out that love seems to be the most profound of all of the perceptions for growth. It is interesting because in Eastern European countries, there are many, many orphanages, because in those countries, people have children as promoted by the church, but then they recognize when they get past a certain number of children they can actually maintain, all the extra children are dropped off at the orphanages. Well, it's interesting because the orphanages provide interesting study sites. When you observe the kids in these orphanages, you observe something such as this: they all are fed very well. They all have clothing, they have their rooms, they're protected from the elements, they have everything except love. And the interesting part about that is, in the absence of love, every one of their vital statistics are suppressed by 30% or more. Their physiological correlates are greatly depressed, they're really very sickly in general. Many of them are autistic. Now, autism in this particular situation is really derived from the fact that if they're not getting love, they're not being allowed to open themselves and expose themselves to the outside world. In the absence of love, they close themselves down. Autism in this particular situation is a result of closing themselves down, protecting themselves from the world that doesn't offer them that love. So it's very interesting that there is a correlation in the children of how they respond to love and how their physiology is a direct connection to their perceptual experiences. Well, it turns out why these perceptions that support us give us health, and why our perceptions that where we buy into fear and threats of our survival actually cut down our life, is related to a mechanism in the human body called the HPA axis. The H stands for hypothalamus, the P stands for pituitary, the A stands for adrenal glands, and they collectively interact in the following way. The H, the hypothalamus, is the portion of the brain that does the interpretation of the perceptions. So when you observe your world, your hypothalamus is designating whether this perception is one that promotes growth or this perception requires a protection response. When the hypothalamus perceives signals in the environment that require a protection response, it must engage the body's behavior to deal with the requirement of protection. So this is why the hypothalamus, upon interpreting a stress response, will send that information to the pituitary gland. Well, the reason why the pituitary gland is involved is very simple. As you may remember, even from elementary school, the pituitary gland is called the master gland. It is the gland that sends signals to 50 trillion cells to coordinate all their behaviors. So if I'm going to direct the operating machine, the pituitary gland becomes a conduit to get the information to all of the cells of the system. So the situation of a stressful existence interpreted by the hypothalamus is forwarded to the pituitary gland. But since the threat comes from the outside, and I need to engage a protection response, this is why the signal is then forwarded to the adrenal gland, because even the adrenal gland, if you remember from high school classes, is the gland that's associated with fight or flight. The adrenal gland is the gland that engages the behaviors of protection. So when we see a stressful environment before us, we activate the HPA axis, which results in our getting into a protection response. Remember, protection is closing yourself down and walling yourself off from the noxious environment. In this part, what do the adrenal glands do to promote this behavior? And this becomes very important for the following reason. The adrenal glands send out stress hormones. The stress hormones inform the system that the threat that we may experience is coming from the outside world. Since we're going to have to deal with the outside world, we really want to nourish our arms and legs, because in a fight or flight behavior, those are the organs that we're going to use to maintain our existence. So in fight or flight, using arms and legs, I want to nourish those arms and legs and give them all the energy I possibly can to carry out their very important task of saving my life. So to do that, the body shifts the allocation of energy to the protection system. Well, in the textbooks of physiology, they say this in response to the fact that when stress hormones are released into the system, the blood is preferentially sent to the arms and legs. Well, that makes obvious sense. I want the blood, which carries nutrition, to go to the arms and legs so I can energize my muscles and allow me to use fight or flight behavior to protect myself. But when you go back to that sentence I just used, there's a very important part of the phrase. The phrase goes, the blood is preferentially sent to the arms and legs. That causes us to pause a second and say, so where was the blood before it was in the arms and legs? And that's when we realize the blood was in the viscera, the gut. But what's the function of the gut? The blood is nourishing the visceral elements to do what? Well, the function of the viscera is growth and maintenance of the body. All the organs of metabolism and digestion and energy distribution and filtering systems and all the things that keep us healthy and alive are really the elemental functions of the viscera. And yet, when I'm in a state of protection, I need to send all my nourishment to my arms and legs. And this is accomplished by the fact that when we see an environment that requires protection, we gauge the HPA axis. When the stress hormones are released into the body, the stress hormones cause the blood vessels in the viscera to constrict. When the blood vessels are constricted, the blood flow is restricted. No longer is blood flow easily going through the visceral elements. They stop their functions basically because without blood, there's no nourishment. Then the processes of growth are inhibited. That growth mechanisms are actually shut off when we are in a stress response, because we're allocating all the energy via the blood to the peripheral organs.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow. shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh, I won't have to work no more. And if I ever lose my eyes, if my colors all run dry, yes, if I ever lose my eyes, oh, I won't have to cry no more. Yes, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. Oh, if I ever lose my legs, oh, I won't have to walk no more. And if I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south, yes, if I ever lose my mouth, I won't have to talk. Did it take long to find me? I asked the faithful light. Oh, did it take long to find me? And are you gonna stay the night? I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow.
And that was Cat Stevens with Moonshadow. We opened with In This Heart by Sinead O'Connor. And we were listening to Bruce Lipton, some excerpts from his program on the biology of belief. We'll be going into this deeper in just a minute. Please stay tuned for a break, and we'll offer some announcements from the station, PRN.FM. Please stay tuned.
This is PRN.FM,
PRN.FM,
the number one station for progressive minds.
Progressive minds.
The story behind the story, your story, my story, it's all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Utrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell the story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
The Dr. Peter Breggin Hour interviews the most exciting innovators in the field of mental health, from therapists and researchers to advocates of patient rights. Join me and other pioneers in psychology, psychiatry, and empathic living with the aim of improving your life and the lives of everyone you touch. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen live or on the archives 24/7 at PRN.FM. Don't forget to rate the show on iTunes. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
And welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And we just heard a bit of information presented by Bruce Lipton, the author of The Biology of Belief. And this is really important because we really have to understand that the mechanism that's playing out in our system is a natural one. It's not somebody or anyone doing anything wrong or doing anything right. Our bodies are made a certain way and function in a certain way. And it's important to make that connection of our body's natural function and how that is impacted by our perceptions of our world and of our fears and the stress that we take on as a result of that. And why is this important? Because when we don't pay attention to it, that energy of stress and fear gets submerged into our physicality, ends up being the information that flows into the cell, that flows into the tissues, and becomes stored there. And over time, that stored information is what has the greatest impact on our health. So it's what we're not dealing with that's causing our bodies to break down, that's causing us to live in stress and to become depressed or despondent or basically cut off from the world. So one of the ways that we can work with ourselves is to really be very aware of this way in which our bodies function so that we can take on different kinds of practices that are going to relieve this unfortunate process by which we internalize what's going on in our world. And it's extremely important right now because when we look out into the world, when we listen to our favorite radio programs or watch television, or even if we're watching some of the programmed media that's designed to confuse and control us, the ending result is that we become extremely stressed out, that we become shut down emotionally, and in that way we become more easily controlled and we become less capable of taking action to ameliorate the situation, to have an impact on the public discourse, and even in most basic, to be able to keep ourselves and our immune system strong. So this is something I believe that it's an awareness that we need to weave into our lives, into our consciousness, and understand that taking care of ourselves with regard to stress is as important as drinking water and brushing our teeth every day or taking our vitamins and our supplements every day, because the load of stress that the immune system has to deal with is expanded, is multiplied based on the state in which we are walking within the world. So it's important that we really take to heart how we can go about releasing these old stresses from our body. And part of that is relaxation. Part of that is allowing that energy to come up into awareness and be released from the body. Part of that is nourishing ourselves with the breathing, the deep breathing, with the calming music, with gentle relaxation, with moving our bodies in a gentle way. That helps to keep the flow going so we're not dammed by the river of or by the information overload, and the river of our energy can flow freely and continuously. So it needs to be an ongoing process of relaxation, of releasing, of nourishing our bodies so that we can stay strong, healthy, and vibrant within our lives. So it's really important not just to have the information, but to do something about it. And that's what I am approaching in this second segment. It's important to realize that you are a complex being with mind, body, spirit, soul, presence within you. And when you can recognize what each part of you requires in order to be healthy, then you can sustain a much healthier life and have a much more positive expression of your life. So often I see people who are just nervous. They're trembling inside because there's so much going on and they're so overwhelmed and they don't know what to do about it. Well, the first stage is to, what we can do is to change that state, that stasis within our own beings, so that the loud information that we're receiving from the outside, the perception of dangers, the perception of lost freedoms, lost liberties, lost movement, the perception of being economically challenged and not having the money to take care of ourselves and our families, the fear over cancer and diabetes and hypertension and all of the illnesses that we see projected to us from the outside become embedded in our tissues, and we have to work towards releasing it. When we don't, what happens is that we build up a greater and greater buffer that allows us to ignore the symptoms. So we ignore the first symptoms of tingling in our feet. We ignore the symptoms of deadening and numbness in our feet. Then we ignore the symptoms of blotches and sores on our skin. Then we ignore the symptoms of actual necrosis of our physical tissue. We end up in the hospital in an emergency situation, and we end up in surgery, and maybe there's surgery where a limb will be severed because it's already gone too far down that path of degradation and disease. While if we can begin to relieve that stress on a regular basis, we can live our lives with a helpful sense of ourselves, and we can save our bodies and our physicality and our families based on taking that responsibility. So I want to share with you a little meditation that I do that really does help me to become clear of these emotions that sink in to the body. And we have a lot going on in our life right now, in the world right now. And so that's one layer. And below that is a layer of what took place in our families and our childhoods. And that's another layer of stress that's being held in the body. And beyond that, there may be a layer of things that we brought in through our DNA from our ancestors or from our past life experiences. So there's a lot that potentially can be there, but it's very easy to release if you just give yourself the chance. So just basically what I'd like for you to do is to take a minute and just breathe. Notice your breath. Bring your attention to your breath. Feel the breath coming in and releasing. You could even blow it out. You can take a deep breath and sigh it out. Oh, really just let some of that energy go by taking the breath in and letting go of some of that surface tension that is there, making your shoulders tight, making your jaw tight, constricting the lungs, constricting the abdomen. Breathe in and just begin to release that energy. And that's one thing we can do every single day in order to let go of that held tension. And we can even go into a deeper relaxation. You know, we're started with the breathing process. Now let's allow our awareness to move through a relaxation process, and just bring your awareness into your neck and your shoulders and just say, I'm relaxed, I'm relaxing, I'm relaxing, I'm letting go of the physical tension in my neck and my shoulders. And as you do that, you can move the neck, you can move the shoulders and, you know, circle them around a little bit and go into your back, breathe into your back, and then release that tension. Just allow yourself by the own word to say, I'm letting go of this energy that I'm holding in my back and in my lower back that's causing me pain and causing me to just really suffer. So let me breathe into that and let it go. Blow it out. Move your back. Move your waist. Move your hips. Breathe into it. Exhale. And just tell yourself, let go of that tension. We can do the same thing in our abdomen, in our chest. Breathe into the lungs. Breathe into your abdomen. Exhale from that place. Tell yourself, I'm letting go. I'm releasing this energy. I'm going to breathe it out of my system and let it go. We can do the same thing through our arms and through our legs, breathing into it, releasing the held tension. We can do it with our organs. Breathe into the liver. Exhale, release that pent-up anger that's been festering in the liver. Breathe into your lungs. Let go. Just with your words, release the grief and the sadness you may be holding into your lungs. Breathe into your kidneys and let go of that. Let go of all of that energy that is just holding you back, that damming of the waters and the energies of your being. Breathe into it and exhale. And then come back in. Breathe in with love. The first song I played for you with Sinead O'Connor, In This Heart. And what we're talking about is breathing into your heart, breathing into your soul, breathing into your higher self, and allowing that energy of the higher self, of that part of you that loves you unconditionally, allow that to be breathed into the cells, breathe into the structures of your body, and just allow that love that surrounds you to flow into you, to be that energy that is at the base and core of your being, so that as you breathe that loving energy through, it allows you to let go of all the messages that are bombarding you every day through the media, through the fears and concerns of your life. We have to take responsibility for bringing in the foundation of love and peace and letting go and pushing away and bathing and allowing it to flow out of your system, all the fear and concerns that build up within us. So it's just a process. You can do it in your own way. You can do it in your own breath, your own rhythm. You can think in terms of what you want to say and the positive messages that you want to feed into your body, that you want to feed into your subconscious, so that energy can begin to wash out. It becomes like a psychic antibiotic, a psychic antiviral, so that the positive energies you're bringing in, the clean breath that you're bringing in, begin to wash away the infestation of stress that is being held in the cellular structure. And as we do this every day, you can do when you wake up, take a few moments to stretch and breathe and release the old and bringing in the new. And this is a way of just continually washing through and relieving yourself, relieving your body. Yeah, it's like going to the bathroom. You don't want to hold that stuff in your body. It's the same thing with information. You don't want to hold it. You want to wash it out, flush it out, so that you have the capacity to build up from inside yourself. And then once you've done that and allowed yourself to do a little bit of basic cleansing, and if you do that every day, then you open yourself up to the possibility of going even deeper and releasing some of the stored information that is programming you down a particular path. So we want to actually deprogram ourselves of that habitual behavior that causes us to engage in self-destructive acts, that causes us to engage in destructive conversation and engagement with each other, and we can really let all of that stuff go. And the meditation really is to just, after you've done a bit of this cleansing, allow yourself to become still in your favorite meditative posture. It could be standing if that's what you do. If you're doing like a Qigong or a Tai Chi or a yoga posture, you might want to start standing. Some people like to sit down. They're more relaxed in a sitting posture. Maybe you want to put a pillow in your lower back so you're nice and upright. Or you could do it in a laying position as well. Best done after waking rather than before sleeping because you want to stay awake. And then as you're breathing deeply, just allowing yourself to become calm in your posture, allow yourself to become aware of your body, become aware of your shoulders, your arms, become aware of your torso and your hips, be aware of your legs and your feet, and allow your breath to just fill in all of your body. Allow your breath to be that which is contained within your skin. And then we can begin to imagine with our mind's eye a container. It could be an empty container, and it can look much like those mega beverage cups you get at the eatery, coffee or soda cup, but it's empty. And think of a tall white cup. And then bring that cup into your third eye, into your mind's eye, so that it's resting first just behind the eyes where you have the pineal gland, where we can be creative, where we hold our sense of imagination. Then gently lower that cup through your body and really feel it, look at it, see it if you can in your imagination. And bring that empty cup all the way down so that it is within alignment, spaced within the field of your heart, which is the center of your chest, the upper cup. The bottom of the cup, allow that to be aligned with the solar plexus so that you have the heart energy and the energy of your solar plexus, the energy of your heart, the energy of your soul. And then as you allow this cup to sit there, I want you to, with your mind's eye, look down into the cup. Look into the emptiness of the cup. If you don't see the cup, just say to yourself, it's there. Imagine it. Visualize it. But look into the emptiness. Some may see the emptiness of a white cup. Some may see the emptiness of darkness or a color. But just reach down into that empty space within you. And then as you breathe into that empty space, invite the feelings to come through. And what will happen is those feelings that have been underlying in the subconscious, not quite there, will begin to feed through for you to look at, for you to examine, for you to breathe through, and for you to release. We don't want to engage it. We don't want to start to feel about it. But just let it go, come through and let it go. Allow your body to respond. Sometimes your body may shake a little. Sometimes you might feel tears coming from a feeling. You don't even know where they're coming from, but just allow the release. Let it go. Some things are happy feelings. You might laugh. Let it go. And just allow yourself to move through these feelings just as you would. And once you allow those feelings to move through, then you begin to feel your actual emptiness. You begin to really feel who you are inside, the fullness and the strength and the power of who you truly are. And as you begin to rest in that relaxed state, that's when the real information comes through. That's when your higher self begins to give you insight. That's when your divinity begins to bring forth inspiration. And that's when you start to have guidance that will tell you and say, well, maybe if you took this path, you would be able to resolve that problem. Maybe if you walked down this street or went to that organization, you would meet the people that will be able to work with you on your mission, on what it is that you want to create in the world. So we have to really let go of the old to invite the newness of who we are and the freshness of inspiration that can move us forward in our lives. So as you do this meditation, you stick with the movement of emotion, the movement of whatever comes through that you've been holding on to for as long as you can. You don't suffer through it. Just let it come through, what comes through, for as long as you're able to do it. And then, you know, put your hands on your chest, close the meditation, breathe, and move on with your day. But as you do this on a regular basis, and really even each time you do it, then that opens the door and creates the space for your inspiration to really guide your life in such a way that will be magical. It also allows you to put the madness of the world into the background energetically. It's not that you don't see it. It's not that you don't choose to take action, but energetically it becomes less has less charge, so that you don't get angry, don't get upset, you don't get fearful every time you hear a broadcast on the news or every time you think about whether or not what money is in your bank account. It's background noise. And then you can tap into the fullness of your spiritual energy, and with that fullness move on into your life. And truly, as you do this, you will move into a state where you can fully engage your life with the inspiration and guidance of your own divinity and your own higher being. And it's a way of not only bringing magic into your life, but it's how we go about healing our lives and healing our bodies. So please do take that opportunity to do this meditation. You can certainly go to our website at the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and you can download this show. It will be up there in just a while after the broadcast, and you can listen to this again, and you can go into this process. You could also engage on a level with the work that I do and get practice and support through your own healing and movement into this state of magical presence and alignment with the highest divinity of your being. We all are divine. We all have spirit and soul, and we can be guided through our lives in a way that is with ease and with joy, but we have to connect to that part of our being. So I invite you to connect with me. If you'd like, you can do that by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. You connect with me through phone, 347-480-1694. And I also offer a number of services. I have a healing space in Brooklyn, in Bay Ridge, and you can make arrangements to meet me there, and we could talk and do energy healing for that purpose. You would either call or email, or you can visit my website, qigongonline@gmail.com, for meditations and updates, and also if you want to connect, and that's QIGONGONLINE, qigongonline.net. Qigongonline.net is the website where you could get more information. I do have events coming up that are open and available to you for support, a monthly spiritual support group. The next meeting is Wednesday, October 19th, from 7:15 until 9:15 p.m., It's at Janana Yoga Wellness Center, 97 Bond Street. It's in Brooklyn, and it's between Atlantic Avenue and Pacific Street in Brooklyn. I have a free Qigong meditation and movement class coming up Saturday, October 29th, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at Studio Maya, 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn. That also, following that, will be a four-part Qigong program also at Studio Maya. And as I said, you can connect with me and get this information by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, 347-480-1694. You can call and get that information. But also, I have printed up this info and these contacts and all of these links, and you can go to the PRN.FM website, go to the program Heart of Mind Radio, and you'll find there all of the information, the links, the details of these programs, a link for you to find out more about Bruce Lipton, so you'll be able to get all of that and make the connection to me if you choose to. And remember, you could always download the program, listen again, and you could also send it. If you know somebody who needs this information, send them a link to the program and let them listen as well. It's really important that we each take responsibility to do what we can to transform our own lives, to uplift ourselves, to expand into being the best that we can be, but also that we can lend a hand and reach out to each other and be able to offer this information to those who need it. So I invite you to participate, but also to share and do what you can to uplift yourself and uplift the world. And just as a reminder, you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio. This is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I invite you to tune in again next Friday morning at 10 a.m. I will be so happy to engage with you again with another program. But in the meantime, I invite you to stay tuned to the Progressive Radio Network. There's a wonderful array of programming for you to listen to and to be informed and to grow and develop and exchange with each other. So please do stay tuned to PRN.FM for more fabulous programming. And thank you for joining me. Bye for now.